Excellent. Hello, Jets fans. It's Dr. Emma here on the Jet Stream, or as it should probably be known, the Andy and Others Jet Stream program. Tonight, I'm here with said Andy. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Emma. Great to have you here as a guest on the Andy Show. We are for another week.
It seems really weird that I'm the host and you're the panelist and you're kind of the stalwart of the team this season. So that's a little bit strange, but thank you so much for participating. Andy and I tonight, listeners, will be reviewing our draw at home against Melbourne Victory, which was round 20. It was a one-all draw. Then we'll be previewing the A-League game against Perth, which is coming up next weekend on Saturday at 5 p.m. And we're also going to talk about the W League. We will gloss very quickly over the 7-0 drubbing they had against Victory on the weekend. And we'll talk about their final game of the season coming up against Adelaide. Also, a whole bunch of headline news. Lots of things have happened at the Jets lately, but we will get to that in a second. Andy, first things first, as always, opening question. This one is inspired by, as I arrived at the game on the weekend, I saw a car that I'm pretty sure is Dimmy's car. It had Dimmy's number plates, and it was parked behind the barriers in the car park at the stadium, right up next to the stadium. Pretty clearly his car, or a really weird mega fan. And it got me thinking, Andy, if you had personalized number plates, what would they be?
So I actually looked in at getting in the grand final year, I was going to get Jets number plates because I'm that kind of lame fan apparently. And I was going to actually get it to say like J the number 3 TS, and looked it up and it was about $270 to make it with like the Newcastle Jets print down the bottom and then an annual fee of $140 or something like that on top of my already extravagant rego. So I was like, yeah, no, I don't really want to support that much at this point.
Yeah, annual fee, ouch. These are hypothetical number plates though. So is that what you'd do if you were going to do it?
Yes, that's what I would do if I was going to go down that path, because I feel like you have to have something somewhat ridiculous.
I got me a Jets tattoo for the grand final, which probably was a lot cheaper than the number plates.
I can almost guarantee it was.
And no ongoing fees on tattoos. Well, I thought long and hard about this question for myself. I did think maybe some variant of my Twitter handle, but that was too many characters. And then I thought Dr. Emma could fit and you could, you know, do a 3 for the E or whatever. But I finally settled on just food with the extra O's and zeros in the middle, taking up all the room. Just food. I think food describes me well as a human, both in fashion sense and everyday life and profession. So yeah, I would go with food.
You should definitely get that done and we should start a GoFundMe to pay for this every year.
Yeah, no, I don't think I need any more food in my life in any sense of the word. And definitely I'm not a personalized number plate girl, but clearly Dimmy is. Nice car too. Very nice car. Much nicer than my car. He can probably afford personalized number plates.
Yeah, that or it's probably not him paying for it. So why not? Thanks, Hyundai.
It was not a Hyundai. Ouch.
Scandalous. Although Hyundai are apparently leaving us soon and it's not going to be the Hyundai A-League anymore, I believe I heard on Around the Block or one of the other fan-based podcasts. So who knows, maybe Dimmy is just ahead of us all.
Interesting. That's going to take some getting used to in the naming and they're going to have to update their Twitter handle. Okay, enough of that. We're going to start with the headline news this week before we go through the game. First, I'm going to tell my little story. My headline news for this week was I got to do the coin toss on the weekend at the game, and that was super exciting. Andy, did you see me on the telly or at the ground?
I was watching on TV, as always. Didn't get down there this week, but I didn't see you do the coin toss, but not long after kickoff, they did pan across, and I was like, oh, my God, there's Emma. So you did make it onto TV numerous occasions.
Going hard on a beer, probably, as I do at the games. Probably not my best angle, but that's nice. Well, it was very fun doing the coin toss. Boogs was super nice. I won the coin toss for us, which made me feel very proud. I had to do it twice because I didn't get enough rotations on the coin the first time, and Toivonen and didn't like that. So that was an experience, seeing how incredibly picky they are about that. Not sure how many times is enough times for the coin to spin, but that was lots of fun. So my university was the match day sponsor this weekend, which was really nice to combine the two biggest things in my life. I think if I'm not working or watching the Jets, I'm probably sleeping or eating, and it's pretty nice to have those two things combined. It was much fun.
Yeah, I actually would have thought that the coin toss from sponsors or, you know, whoever else would be purely ceremonial, and they would have done that in the tunnel beforehand, and it was just kind of that nice thing to do, and the result didn't really matter. So it's interesting to hear from the inside that they do actually take that stuff seriously.
It was nice. The vice chancellor was meant to do it, who's like the boss of the university, but he wasn't available. And apparently I was the next person to ask. So that was all very exciting for me. Though probably most people on the ground didn't even notice it happened because it was, you know, while the teams are running out and everything. So fun for me, and cool to walk on the ground at the stadium. And the grass is longer than I thought, and it was wetter than I thought. So yeah, inexperience for me. Let's get on to the real news rather than my silly gigglings. We've had a few new signings this week, Andy. That's exciting.
That is definitely exciting from the point of view that we weren't really expecting any, to all of a sudden we have two of a fairly high caliber. So exciting times, Jets fans.
The rumours came true. I can't quite believe it. We were speculating on these two signings over the last couple of weeks, and for both of them to come off I think is pretty great. Let's talk first about Bernie Abini. How are you feeling about Abini joining the club?
So quality player. My only concern is I worry that he's going to perhaps be the next Andy Naboo, so who just comes, turns it on for a season or what's left, and then sort of puts himself in the shop window to go back overseas. Whilst I don't hold anything against anyone for doing that, especially in sport where your career is fairly limited, I think it's good to have a season or two consistency and then look to go abroad. I mean, look at Naboo again. Sure, he's doing okay in a struggling side, but I don't think there'd be the offers lining up that there were when he left the Jets. So hopefully I'm wrong and Bernie turns it on and can sort of regenerate his career here and repays the club for taking the chance, because I believe he is coming off the back of some fairly consistent injuries and stuff.
So let's clarify, when you say overseas, do you mean the Central Coast?
Well, that depends what way you look at it. I mean, they're is a player that we have recently released that I wouldn't be surprised to see in Europe, that is the Central Coast, in the next few weeks.
I'm just thinking, Dimi had a similar kind of journey to this, didn't he? Going overseas, going on to the next bigger, better thing, and then unfortunate events, come home, flourished. Do you think Abini could be a little bit like that for us?
Yeah, I think Abini has, you know, a point to prove. He has always been quality but has never really taken that next level. And I guess if he's used to working with Carl Robinson from their time together at Vancouver, I didn't really see much of him when he was in Vancouver, but hopefully he is able to just link up and just fill that void that we've had, and it just adds more and more quality.
So where do you see him fitting in? Do you see him starting, or do you see him bolstering our bench? What do you think we're going to get out of him?
I think for the time being you'll see him off the bench. I would think that, sadly, and I'm a big fan of Nick Fitzgerald, but with Bernie, if he's got the goals in him, then that's one thing that Fitzgerald's game seems to be lacking, is actually creating opportunities, but then also putting them in the net himself. So I would say he will start on the bench. I don't think there'll be drastic lineup changes from what we've had, but it'll definitely be interesting to see if he does stay beyond the rest of this season, who sort of makes way for him to do that.
Because he hasn't played top level in a while, has he? The last club I can see him with is early last year. He's been a free agent for a while, and that's why we've been able to sign him. So do you think he's going to need time to warm up? Are we going to get anything out of him this season, or do you think it's going to take a little while for him to mesh with the team?
Yeah, well, I think James Gardner put out on Twitter that, in response to a question in similar lines, that he seems fit at training. He seemed up to speed. I guess that doesn't necessarily always translate to match fitness. But, yeah, you would hope that he's definitely good for at least 50, 60 minutes should he be needed.
Hope so. On to today's signing. So new signing announced just today. Welsh player Joe Ledley is joining the club. Feels about that one, Andy?
So I'm pretty excited that we are able to bring in a player that, you know, I guess I haven't seen much of him, but if you look at sort of the skill by association, like he was lining up for the Welsh team with Gareth Bale and all those top players, so you've got to be at a certain standard for that, especially in a footballing nation. It's not one of these teams where you just, you know, everyone gets a go because football's not really their sport. But, yeah, excited for him. I don't know what that means for Gus Thurgate, but I guess if Carl has shown that Gus has a future, it's all about just finding the right way for him to fit in and where he gets time. But I would say it's a clear statement of intent to bring players in who can still do a job. He's a player that could easily stay in sort of the higher of the leagues in England and still do a job. So for him to come here, it was what we sort of hoped would come from having a coach with the network that Carl Robinson has, and love the way that we're structuring the contracts, just short till the end of the season, helps the club, because if we find that it's not going to work out, we can sort of move them on without having to pay them out and all that sort of stuff. But if they do go well, it shows what the true value is and gives a better opportunity to negotiate a good deal. And at the end of the day, it's all just adding squad depth, which if we're the ambitious club that Martin Lee as our owner wants to be, you know, challenging in the Asian Champions League and stuff like that, we need to have the squad depth to be able to do that. I think that's one of the things with the A-League squads is when they do compete in Asia, they haven't got the, you know, big squads that can essentially run an A and a B team. So you leave one team at home and take another team overseas so you can still compete in the league.
No, really good point. And I think Joe did make a point in the press conference this afternoon about that personal connection with Carl being what brought him here. I speak good English. So I think that is a good sign that people do want to work with him. Hopefully it's not, you know, a case of my people or no people, that kind of malarkey. But he seemed really happy to be here and quite open in terms of where he could fit into the team. I think you might be right. Maybe for Gus it doesn't bode as well. I hope this isn't the start of us thinking about losing Stevie, which I've been worried about for the entire season. But he seemed very optimistic about being in Newcastle, very upbeat about being in Newcastle, but also he was very realistic about his potential position within the team and that he hadn't had a terrible amount of match time or goal scoring opportunities of late. So I think it bodes well. At least we're doing something, right?
Yeah, and I guess just picking up on what you said about Stevie Ugie, that was another fear of mine, that he perhaps has indicated that he may not be here long term or something. So we're looking at other avenues and alternatives, but it doesn't really seem like this is a signing of replacing anyone. It's just adding to the quality of the squad.
And, you know, he seems like, attitude-wise, he's going to fit in well with the club. He has a stunning beard, which I'm going to enjoy watching. someone asked him in the press conference about Mile Jedinak and whether he had anything to do with him coming to the league, and it's definitely a Jedinak-esque beard. Apparently, Ledley did it first, though, so how's about that? Yeah, I'm really looking forward to him overall, and I think knowing how to work with Carl is going to be a real benefit. Okay, well, I don't know if we're meant to talk about this next bit, because today the Jets put up a post announcing that they'd parted ways with Matt Redenton, and there was notices to that effect, and some of the stories are saying Ledley's in as a replacement for Redenton getting out, and that post has now been deleted. Andy, Redenton, is he really gone?
Yeah, I did. I went to have a look to see sort of a bit more of the information around that to be able to discuss it, and couldn't really see the statement from the club. But whether things have changed and he's been retained or what have you, I don't see a place like I've anyone that's listened to this for more than 2 weeks would know I'm not the biggest fan of Redenton. I don't think he is especially worth wasting a visa spot on. I think he's a player that will do well if he was to transition to the Europe that is the Central Coast. But yeah, as far as just a player, it's, we shouldn't be using visa spots for squad players is how I'll sum it up and leave it there.
Yeah, and I'm surprised he's hung on as long as he has after Ernie leaving. He clearly had a special relationship with Ernie that was getting him the runs. And, yeah, I don't think he's really shown his potential at Newcastle. And hopefully he can thrive somewhere else. But, I mean, I don't want to be all negative about him. You know, he's served his place in the team, and, you know, it just hasn't really panned out, I guess, like it could have. And I'm sure he'll do well elsewhere. So without being terrible about it, I hope that whatever went wrong with that notice getting taken down gets it put back up. Anything else we need to talk about on the signings front, Matt? Oh, Matt, Andy.
No, I think that pretty well covers everything, and I think it's, yeah, again, refreshing to see that in the current climate with obviously, you know, viruses and whatever else, you'd think that things might be a little bit tough for Martin Lee at the moment, but he has obviously given the club a bit of money and a bit of freedom to go and get these two players for the rest of the season. So it's, I guess, a statement of intent that we're not going to just write this season off just yet.
Oh, gosh, I hadn't even thought about that. There's, yeah, lots of reports in the news about damage to economies with the coronavirus outbreak. So, yeah, I hadn't even thought about the fact we had a Chinese owner and that could have consequences, though it seems to be hitting all the markets quite evenly, so maybe it will all just balance out. Anyway, that's a little bit deep for the Jet stream. That's real politics. Speaking of politics, I think this was a bit of a classy political kind of move, just switching gears into the W League for a second. Only one game left of the W League now, but last week when we had two games of the W League left, the team announced that Craig Deans wouldn't be coming back into that role this season, and that Ash Wilson was going to be able to see out the season as the head coach of the W League team. Andy, classy move on the part of Deansy to let Ash see out the season?
Yeah, I think there was nothing that, you know, they were necessarily going to lose or gain from leaving Ash in that role for the rest of the season. and Deansy, obviously, in the last few presses that he did, he made his feelings known that he wants to go back to full-time coaching, and I guess whether that's for a period of time, whether he needs to do sort of a hybrid option of supporting the new coaching team with Carl and Kenny, and then W League and Academy and whatever else that he's doing, or what it is. But yeah, classy move for him to just say, look, it's your team for the end of the season and I'm not going to stand in the way.
Yeah, I think that's important for continuity and for Ash's development. The experience she's had this season as the coach, even though the season hasn't gone terribly well for the girls, I think she's done well to have come in the way she did, step up from her role as the assistant. And I think she's probably going to, even though they got flogged on the weekend, which we'll talk about in a minute, I think she's going to experience getting to complete her season. I think that's important for the team. Okay, Andy, let's move on to the game that we did play on the weekend for the A-League. We'll get to the girls later because that's a bit less fun. We did manage to get a 1-1 draw against Melbourne Victory at home. I have no idea how many people were at the ground because could not hear the ground announcer, but it felt in the 7,000s kind of ballpark, maybe 7,500. We won't go through a blow-by-blow of the match because there's resources that can do that for us. But a few key things that I want to talk about to start with. Wes Houlihan finally got a run. Newey was very happy to see him. He got a huge round of applause when he came onto the park. I think it was about 60 minutes in. So we got a decent run, about half an hour on the park. Andy, did you see the photo snapped as he ran on for his entry with Eddie Naboot looking like totally filthy?
I haven't seen that one, but it was, yeah, you could hear on the telecast just the crowd absolutely lift when he did come on. And, yeah, you can just tell he's a player that wants to be here and wants to do well.
Yeah, everyone was super thrilled. And, oh, my God, I'll have to send you this photo. Andy Naboot just looks disgusted. It's like he's going, oh, I remember when they used to love me like that, because I'm not sure they love him like that at Victory. So, yeah, he did not look impressed. It was probably just a unfortunate quirk of resting face as he got caught by the camera, but it was pretty funny, I thought. What did you think of Wes getting back on the park and actually getting a proper run in the A-League?
Yeah, well, I guess there was a bit of rust in Wes for sure. There was a few occasions where he turned it over a bit easy, and one time where he, from memory, received a pass and then pretty much put it into the corporate area of the stadium. But yeah, you could tell just from as the game went on, the confidence grew, and again another 10-15 minutes and he probably would have had a shot and probably would have done something with it. So, and having the injury that he had, it was similar to what we said when Ronnie Vargas come back, like you don't know how players are going to respond. Are they going to actually have the strength in their legs and all that sort of stuff, or are they going to be a bit held back? But he seemed to be pretty keen to get straight into it. And if we're adding the quality that we have to the squad, then obviously just playing with players that are able to link up a lot more is going to help his game.
I was worried he was going to get a token 5 minutes on the pitch. Ferns was putting money on 20 minutes on the pitch, so he got a little bit more than either of us expected. I can use words. I host podcast. He got a little bit more time than either of us expected, and I think the fans were really happy with it. I think you are so right about the rust. There were definitely a few mishandled moments, but hopefully he is on the up from here.
Yeah, I was actually more expecting that he was going to come on and one of the Victory players that are known for getting frustrated, someone like a James Donaghy or whatever, would just go straight through the back of him and he would be out for the rest of the season. So I'm glad that that didn't happen.
Oh, being a Jets fan has taught you to fear things like that.
Indeed, ouch. It has.
Mm, speaking of deviating from my run sheet a little bit here, but speaking of the Victory and the behaviour, did you notice on the TV? I certainly noticed it at the ground. The running battle between Andy Naboot and Bobby Burns.
Yeah, and the commentary team made a massive deal about that, and it just goes to show. Like, I'm pretty sure from what I've heard from Laurie and a few other sources that Bobby Burns is going to be going back to Hearts at the end of his time here this season, which is going to be a huge loss. Like, the guy is a quality player, and it is really quite sad that we didn't get to maximise him because for whatever reason Ernie didn't seem to be too keen on using him at the start of the season. But, yeah, he did an absolute job on Naboo, and he was like, Naboo was pretty much taken out of this game, in my opinion, through Bobby Burns just being able to play.
Yeah, he was frustrated, and I absolutely agree. Linda Drummond, for the regular listeners, you'll know Linda Drummond as the Jinx. She picks a favourite player and they immediately break their leg or leave the club. She has been attempting to use that power for good and do a reverse psychology on Bobby Burns and wish him ill in the hope that he will stay forever. It's a little bit confusing, but the power of the Jinx has been proven to work. So hopefully Linda Drummond does not destroy Bobby Burns for us, and it would be lovely if he got to stay. He definitely says he's enjoying it in Newcastle and would like to stay. So I think that bodes well for the team and the environment. But, yeah, it is unfortunate, as you said, that we did not see more of him. Andy, another talking point for this weekend is that they mic'd Carl up for the game. So we got to hear a few salient moments of conversations between him and the fourth official and things he was communicating with the players. Was that happening live while the game was on the TV viewing, Andy? I only saw it as a little package afterwards.
No, so what happened was he was mic'd up for, it was only meant to be for the first half, and then apparently he said, no, I'm not even noticing it's there, so I'm happy to keep it on. And then from the 90 minutes of him pretty much talking the whole time, they ended up chopping it down to a two-minute clip. I'd love to be able to hear the complete 90 minutes of raw sort of emotion and what he said exactly. But, yeah, to get that insight, obviously, you know, kudos to Fox for organising things like that. But he's just, Carl's a classy guy, and even there was a segment in that clip that he was giving, it was while they were doing the VAR check for the goal, he pulled Matty Miller aside, gave him some direction, and then as soon as the goal was awarded, it was, you know, blah, 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 do this, go celebrate. Like, it was, you know, making sure that he made a point of celebrating the success that the team has had now that he's downloaded that information. So, yeah, reminds me of, I guess, how Scott Miller used to articulate his points, but you just see that there's a lot more because he's been there, done that. He commands a lot more respect at the moment.
I definitely thought the same thing, that it was a little bit Scott Miller-esque, but with a whole lot more. It was much more classy than I ever felt with Scott Miller. I always felt that Miller was a little bit put on, a little bit contrived in that behaviour, felt very learned to me with him, where it seemed quite natural. And there were some moments where I was like, little bit intimidating, but intimidating without being over the top. And I think he walked that line in speaking to the officials quite well, which I was impressed with.
Yeah, and he even with the when Matt Miller went down in the penalty box, and it was a pretty clear penalty shout for me, that the audio showed him sort of saying, rather than having to go and saying, you know, you explicit moron and all this sort of stuff, it was, look, these are the rules. It's in the rule book. If you don't know it, maybe take a chance to read it again and refamiliarize yourself. Like, it was that cold stab without actually, you know, rage quitting and having to swear or anything like that. So, again, just absolute class from the bloke, and he can get his point across to the officials without having to worry about, you know, the fine that's going to come Monday morning.
Yeah, it was almost like when he said that part, it was almost like, remember when you were a kid and your mum used to say, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed? It was almost like that, that cut deeper than actually getting yelled at.
Oh, I was, yeah, if you can get out of my head, that'd be great. I was just about to say that yeah, he is that, like, you can just imagine you do something wrong as a player and he's going to be like, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed that you didn't follow through with what I'd asked of you. And that would, you know, make you want to go back into your shell way more than getting absolutely berated, where I feel, you know, he kind of has that yin and yang where I don't obviously know Kenny Miller, but I reckon he could fly off if he needed to. So you've got Carl being the throw the arm around you, and then you have Kenny who's like, you know, do your job, it's not that hard type person.
Ah, right. So you think they're good cop, bad cop?
I would have to say so. They're, especially because, you know, Carl said that Kenny thinks he could still go out there and do a job. If you're not up to the standard, then he's probably going to turn around and say, well, I'll do it myself. So...
Excellent point. I do wonder about the editing that went into that package and all the minutes of audio that they must have collected, and, you know, how quickly they've distilled that down and distributed it. How much other gold is in there that we may be yet to hear? So, yeah, I guess I will have to wonder that. But it was a cool insight, and I did enjoy it, particularly with him being new to us as a team. Let's talk about the goal now. So we were the first to score in this game. We went into the Sheds at halftime a goal up, which is an unusual feeling for a Jets fan. We all know. The goal was a very different kind of goal, I guess. Lots of talking points there. It kind of ping-ponged around, and the refs didn't seem to notice that the ball went in. Play went on for what seemed like an eternity before it was pulled back so that they could do a proper VAR check. When I got home, Andy, after the game, at the ground, I was shouting, how did that not go in? And then when they went to the VAR, I was like, oh, gosh, did it go in? And I thought it was going to be terribly close and just over the line. And then I saw the replay. It was in by a good 30 or 40 centimetres. Not that I'm a great estimate of distance, but it was a full, you know, ball's width and then some in the line. And a very long time for them to take to go back to that. I will say I do think it's fabulous, as I said in the video, fabulous that they did still celebrate. I was worried for a second we would have been robbed of that goal celebration, and Roy made sure that we were not. Andy, should that happen? I mean, do you expect to wait that long between a potential goal occurring and getting it pulled back? I guess they've got to wait for a break in play, but it felt very awkward on the pitch. Was it the same feeling watching at home?
Watching at home, you, like, pretty much from the camera angle could see that the ball crossed the line, and then when they looked at it again, it only confirmed it from the, you know, direction that the ball travelled, and you could see that the ball went in, hit the top bar, sort of went in and backwards, and then bounced back out again. So it was a pretty clear goal on the telecast. But one of the big things that I noticed was that Arroyo sort of threw his hands up and said that was in. everyone else kept playing and kept focused on the job and got back and defended straight away. They didn't just wait and go, oh, that's a goal. What are you doing? Why aren't you calling it? And that's refreshing to see that we're actually playing, you know, the old cliche of playing to the whistle like we were doing. But on your question of the time frame, I guess that's the problem overall with VAR, is the fact that it takes quite a while for them to even look at it, and they've got to be able to clearly, I guess, argue why it was the decision that they made. I didn't really like that it flashes up with decision overturned, because I don't think it was, like, Fagani didn't really have the greatest game. He's had a lot better as a referee, but yeah, it wasn't really overturning his decision. It was just, it all happened so quickly that he has said, well, I'll let it go and let play go on, and they'll bring it back if they need to. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. He didn't make a decision. He deferred, knowing that VAR would tell him if he was wrong, I guess. They didn't all run back and defend. Roy stayed on the ground next to the goals with his head in his hands, because he absolutely could not believe that it wasn't a goal. But apparently no one noticed, because they were all running off up the park with the ball. So I think Roy was pretty convinced that it should have been a goal and would have been a goal. Weird feeling, I guess, for a Jets fan, for VAR to go our way against Melbourne Victory. Yes, ironic.
Yeah, well, I guess it brings into the inquiry that I've asked for, that it clearly doesn't work at the northern end of the stadium. So if we're going to get a VAR decision, it has to be down the hockey centre end, apparently.
Right, all the dirty play at the other end from now on then. Noted. Okay, so just a quick recap in general. First half, we scored the goal. First half, we played quite well. First half, I felt we had it over Victory. Do you agree, Andy?
Yeah, during the first half, we came out strongly, and I felt for Arroyo, he had a cracking game, and for me would be up there for man of the match. And to have, was it two goals disallowed and a third, you know, bicycle sort of half volley attempt that would have just been spectacular if it went in. I just want that guy to be able to score, because he clearly loves being here.
Yes, well, it was a tale of two halves, and second half we did not bring that A game. We do have this problem where we can't seem to put two good halves together, and unfortunately there are two halves in a game of football. And we did get scored against quite quickly in that second half off a header from Toivonen, and I think it was. What went wrong there, Andy? Why did we break down in the second half? Did something go wrong in the dressing room at halftime? Did we just lose the momentum? Was that Victory's plan that they let us wear ourselves out and then they could storm back in? What do you think went wrong?
Yeah, well, I guess I would love to see if they left their microphone running during Carl's halftime talk, because it looked like the players came out, and there's always the first 5 minutes of each half where the guys seem to just really turn off for a period of time. And from what I saw, that's what happened in this one. It was down the field, and then all of a sudden the ball went over, and I believe it was Boogs, who is by no means a short man, but Toivonen just got a little bit over him and was able to fairly easily put it in the back of the net, and Italiano could pretty much just stand and watch it. So that, just the whole 90 plus minute performance is something that I hope the coaching team are working on, because we seem to really shut off at periods.
I will say, doing the coin toss and standing between Toivonen and Boogs, I've never felt so short in my entire life. Those men are both huge. Very, very, very tall humans. And I guess, yeah, one versus the other does kind of even things out. And yeah, Italiano, poor boy, was very flat-footed in that moment and didn't look like we did have much of a chance of stopping that. I almost feel like the Jets are like, you know how everyone's got that friend who's always late and you have to lie to them about the start time for things? I almost feel like we have to do that. Give them a few extra minutes to get their heads back in the game after halftime, because there were people tweeting saying, you know, have they swapped shirts? Have we got a different team? How is this possibly happening? It didn't reflect the tempo or the cohesion. The number of passes in the first half, number of passes that we strung together, was a cohesion that I feel like we've not seen in the team for a long time, and it was very disappointing to see that fall apart in the second half. And it was a very strange, buoyant feeling as a Jets fan at halftime that I have not experienced much this season. So yeah, unfortunately, but I'll take a draw because, you know, we have not had very many good results this season, and a draw is better than a loss. We are sitting now in our last five games on 3 draws, 1 win, and 1 loss. And I haven't actually looked at the stats, but that feels like our best run of the season, Andy. Is it weird that I'm celebrating this draw in my head?
No, I think obviously we, with the change in coach and all that sort of stuff, we needed to start getting some results, and for, you know, the ladder to be sitting how it is, it's not out of the mathematical possibility to get something out of this season. But we're in a, you know, group of five teams that all have inconsistencies, so at the moment we just need to be the better of the inconsistent in order to get anywhere. And I guess if a few wins and a few draws go our way, it could be enough to do something.
We need to be the least worst of the bottom. But I mean, that is a good point. We are only 2 points ahead of the Mariners, but they have not clocked any wins or draws in their last five games. And we are, in fact, only 2 points behind Melbourne Victory, which I'm not sure I quite appreciated going into this match, how close we were behind them. So they're sitting in 9th and we're in 10th. They've not had a good trot lately either. Then we've got the Wanderers and Western United, only, I can do maths, 4 points ahead of those two teams. So it is still quite tight down the bottom of the table, looking up to the top six. So, you know, not long left in the season, but mathematically anything's possible, I guess. And, you know, we are still better than the Mariners, so that really is what's important. Andy, you said Arroyo was up there for you for man of the match. Is he who you're going to lock in?
Yeah, I'm going to lock Arroyo in. I just think that to whether offside or balls hitting referees and whatever else, you got to be in those positions to put the ball in the net. And had those counted, we would have been absolutely singing his praises. So he is the one for me for this week.
Nice. As I said in the post-match video, I'm going with Roy. When Roy came back, I was very hesitant. It was a bit confusing. It was like getting back together with an ex, and I don't like that idea. But seeing the way he celebrated that goal was just, for me, any hiccup in this relationship between him and the club is completely forgotten for me. He celebrated that with pride. He was really looking out for the fans and what that meant to us in that moment, I really felt. And super happy for him. So you all know I don't like to pick the goal scorer, but for me, that's team spirit all the way that I'm going to give it to Roy. We didn't do a public vote, because Statsman Dave has retired from the podcast. And no one thought to do it in his absence. So get on the social medias and tell us what you think, if you disagree with us or if you agree with us even. Sometimes people are allowed to agree on social media. Let us know. Let's put a pin in the A-League game then, Andy, and talk very briefly about the girls' game on the weekend, our poor W-League girls. They also played Melbourne Victory. They were down at No. 2 Sports Ground, much smaller crowd, and a much larger scoreline. Our poor girls went down 7-0. Second last on the table this season. Not really much to say about this game, is there, Andy? It's one everyone would rather forget.
Yeah, I would say that, and it's, I guess, good that we did have that game in hand to pick up the win against Adelaide last week or the week before, that now hopefully as long as we get a draw or a win, we're not going to finish with the spoon. But the good thing about finishing lower on the table is theoretically it can only go up from here. So, yeah, I'm still incredibly optimistic about what the Jets W League team is going to do. I think there's one or two bits of quality that we need to add, and hopefully the resources will be there to add those next season. But, yeah, another full season and a few of the players that we will hopefully be able to get back or bring in will make the difference and put us up there. We just need to, in the W League, I think it's all about how you start, and if you can start well and get ahead, you can obviously do well. So, and again, another season for the City shirt wearing Matildas to be able to say they're a quality side.
Yeah, that is that's a good take. I'm very supportive on that. I think, unfortunately, this game is not representative of the girls' season. I know that they haven't won a terribly large number of matches. They don't have a large number of points on the board, but they have played with such heart and they have had moments of real spark and cohesion. And I think we have a stronger squad than what our results have represented for the girls this year. So I think they will be disappointed. I think they will have learned a lot from it. If we get some of the younger, less experienced players coming back next season, I think they're going to be all the better for this. But this game was just a festival of goals for victory. There was first goal at 3 minutes, then 4 minutes later, another one. And then, you know, by the 12th minute, we were three down. By halftime, we were four down, and it just kept coming. And, you know, my friends were tweeting saying, you know, they're dead already. Please stop. Like it was a massacre. I'm sure Victory enjoyed it up the top of the celebrations, but not so great for us.
Yeah, and Victory in the W League always seem to reach a point in the season where they just go on a run and put quite a few goals away. I did find it really interesting, though, in last week's pod, that the scheduling of not doing this as a doubleheader, like I know the W League are trying to build the fortress that is number two and all that sort of stuff, but yeah, you'd think it would have maybe made a bit more sense to play them in front of the crowd. And whilst there's the argument that it wouldn't be their crowd, I feel like the people that do make the effort to go early for a W League game, like it is clearly your crowd. So, yeah, I just thought they would have done it as a doubleheader for the end of the season sort of thing.
It's always weird to me when it's the same clubs in the matchups and not a doubleheader. And then sometimes we have a doubleheader with two different clubs in the matchup. And to me, it would make much more sense to put the matching clubs playing on the same weekend together so that fans who travel can get that double bang for their buck. And I think that would make it a little bit more exciting to get some more traveling fans at both games. So, yeah, I think you are right. I do agree that, you know, it's good for the girls to have their own space and their own environment and, you know, build their own thing. And, you know, it can be a little bit strange in that stadium when it's not very full. But, you know, more people at the W League is never a bad thing. And, yeah, I think next year hopefully people make a bit more of an effort, because certainly we can help as fans to lift the girls.
Yeah, but I did also, just another point on that, I did also hear on the, I was watching the ABC broadcast of the W League game, and they made the point that it was only the second game this year that they've actually played at number two. So they played City, and then they played which was back in like round one, and then they've played Victory this weekend just gone, and then other games were at, you know, McDonald Jones Stadium, which I think was even a standalone Sunday game or something like that, that they played there. So just interesting how it's all panning out with that W League using number two and being sponsored by Newcastle Council and all this sort of stuff. It doesn't seem to be working out exactly how it was initially planned, I don't think.
I guess this is what happens with ground sharing and all the crazy weather and things that we've had lately. But, yeah, I guess as long as we get a game, we're happy. So this weekend, the girls have their final game of the season and they're back against Adelaide. In Adelaide this time, this will be the Wooden Spoon playoff. So we're only just ahead of Adelaide on the table. If Adelaide win, they would be on equal points, I believe, to us. I can't find my ladder right now, but I believe that is correct. I haven't looked at the goal difference, though. Andy, what are we expecting from this Wooden Spoon playoff?
Yeah, so just looking at the table, so we're currently in 8th place on 7 points with a goal difference of minus 14. Adelaide are obviously in 9th place with 4 points and a goal difference of 13. So that 4-0, yeah, the 4-0 result to Melbourne Victory definitely didn't help us. So hopefully we can travel well and, you know, it looks like a draw or a win is all we can expect from this. Otherwise it will be the spoon for us for another season. But I think we will come away with a 1-1 draw.
I should just clarify, it was 7-0 against Victory. I just only talked through the 4 goals in the first half. There were 3 more in the second half. it was pretty bad. So, yeah, this could change.
I stopped watching at halftime, so.
I feel like a few people tuned out at halftime. It was pretty bad. So, sorry, did you say you think we can do this?
I think we can get something out of it, and it will be a 1-1 result.
A 1-1 will do it. We won't come last with 1-1. I'm going to jump on the back of that. I think that would be lovely not to come last. And I think, you know, it would not be fair on the girls and everything they've put in this season if they did come last. But, yeah, the W League is a strange competition. It's a short competition. It's got a lot of weird scheduling moments and those kinds of things. So, yeah, it is a little bit difficult. And you're right, we have the big city teams up the top, as everyone would expect. Melbourne City, followed by Sydney, followed by Victory, followed by the other Sydney. So I think, as I've said before, the disparities in the clubs and who they can attract and what they can spend, a little bit more obvious in the W League. And that's definitely playing through. All right, well, we'll leave the girls there and we will talk about the A-League again. Preview this weekend, our boys are back at home, 5 p.m. on Saturday in the afternoon sun. We will be playing Perth. Andy, what do you think's going to happen there?
So this goes against everything historical that there is, but I think that with the bounce of the new players coming in and just the team being a bit more solid and having more time with the coaching staff and all that sort of stuff, that we will get a 2-1 result with goals coming from Dimi, Roy and Fornaroli for Perth. So that is my prediction for this one.
That is hugely specific. I'm personally going to tip us for another 1-1 draw. I think we will get a goal. I think they will also get a goal. I'm not sure from either team who will get them. But we've come off a draw this week and they've also come off a draw this week. So I think the drawing feeling will continue. The question will be which one of us will it be to mess it up in the last 5 minutes of the game? That's the real question. Who did you say you thought was going to score for us, Andy?
So that was 30 seconds ago, but I believe it was Dimi and Roy that I said, and I'm sure someone will highlight to me if it was someone else.
I instantly forgot. I'm an excellent listener. Yeah, okay, so Dimi and Roy, yep, I can totally see that. I do remember you said Fornaroli for Perth, so Do you think anyone else from Perth, who do you think is going to give us trouble?
Obviously, you can never look past Diego Castro. He always likes to play against us. Another player that I'd love to be able to just pluck stats out of my filing cabinet that is inside my brain, like some other members of this podcast, but that doesn't exist. So therefore, I would say from memory, Joel Chianese or whatever they call him these days, he often seems to come on and do well against us in the last 5-10 minutes when our more senior centre backs are starting to tire. So that could be something to look for as well.
He came on as a sub last week. Yes. So yes, probably could see similar. Let's switch to our lineup. Who do you think is going to start? So do you think we're going to see big changes in the starting lineup from this week or much of the same?
No, I think it'll be much of the same, if not exactly the same. We'll obviously see some new faces on the bench, but I don't think we will see many of the wholesale changes that, you know, you might expect with bringing in two very quality players.
So you think Ledley and Abini straight onto the bench?
I would say so. I think they're both coming in where they've, you know, been in training and stuff and doing their own personal programs. They both look fairly fit from the video footage I've seen and will be good for time. So I think you'll probably see a full three subs brought on, and unless someone gets injured, they might all be attacking subs, although Ledley did sort of say that his preferred position is in a more defensive midfield role. So, yeah, I'd say we'll see Wes, Ledley and Abini at some point, but that's a pretty solid bench to be looking down at if you're Carl Robinson.
It is a pretty solid bench. So you don't think Wes has earned himself a start after last week? You think another showing off the bench?
Yeah, I think if anything, he will it'll go one of two ways. He'll either come on for the last maybe half an hour again, or he will start and go off at around that 60-70 minute mark. But yeah, I think Carl likes Angus Thurgate, and because of that we'll keep giving him a chance until someone proves otherwise that they're a better option.
Well, everyone likes Angus Thurgate, don't they?
Absolutely.
You took a little while to answer that, Andy. I was a bit worried. So we've both optimistically tipped – well, I've tipped a draw. You've tipped a win. Perth are second on the table with 30 points. They've had 2 wins and 3 draws in their last 5 games. Are we delirious, Andy, or do you think that we can pull this off?
I mean, we've probably set them up for failure because we're believing in them. But Carl Robinson – makes you believe in what he's saying. So I've said for the last few weeks that our next 5 games are crucial, and looking at the teams above us, we all sort of play the same teams over the next few weeks. So if we're going to do anything to reach our destined forever seventh, then we need to start making those moves now. And what better way to do it than to beat Perth at home?
I love that you've readjusted the goal to be just get back to Forever Seventh.
Well, I like Forever Seventh when we're currently, 10th? So we might as well, we can only go up from here.
We're only 6 points, so 2 wins off that position, if all the dominoes fell correctly above us. So, yeah, definitely a possibility. Mathematically still possible to get ourselves up into the finals, though. Dare we dream?
We definitely need to be having that goal.
Yes, and that goal will come from scoring goals. All right, then, we're just about on to our hour. Andy, have I missed any important news in Jets land before we wrap up?
No, I think we've covered everything. But as always, if there's anything we have missed, people are more than welcome to get in touch with us and let us know.
Mm-hmm. Jump on the social medias. We're at Jetstream Newey on everything. Hopefully you're listening to us on some kind of podcast form, so you already know where to find us, but tell your friends. We're on all the streaming apps. And I guess all that remains to say now is please come to the game on the weekend. It would be really nice to get a nice crowd into the stadium for a Saturday afternoon. I know we've had terrible luck lately, but with the weather, but it would be great to see a great crowd there. And now I will say, go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Very formal.